Hannah Esther.
Good evening, Hanukkah Sameach.
Good evening, Hanukkah Sameach.
I'm Sameach.
I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You don't have to unmute, but I'm just waiting for another person or involving. Good evening, Hanukkah Sameach.
Good evening, Hanukkah Sameach.
So we're starting with, I assume it's, yeah. We're going to start with verse 256. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Le'akta Hashem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Karanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Karanehu Tachatze le'yat le'yayita ruta le'italka hay nehora tikla le'itachada bin hora hivura ela al yedei Yisrael binun mit tabakan be'ya Tichoto. Come and see. This blue light cannot awaken, kindle, or link to the white light without Israel connecting to it from underneath. This is the same as the linking of the wick to the blue light. Any questions or comments or thoughts?
Is it saying that we're the wick?
It's saying that we are the wick.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying that we are the Malchut.
Okay.
That Israel is the Malchut, and if it isn't connected to the Malchut, it can't. It doesn't have the power to grow. The purpose of Malchut is manifestation. So the idea that the Israel is the light unto the nations, representing Malchut, representing manifestations. If Israel does not do its job, the world on one level cannot exist, but on a more practical level, when Israel doesn't do its job, the other nations feels a lack. And so they rise up against Israel. And we normally call that anti-Semitism. Essentially saying that is the cause of anti-Semitism is Israel not doing its job, its spiritual work. That's what's being hinted to in this verse. Verse 257. V'tachatei af al gav diorcheya Dehai nehora tikla ukma l'sheitza'a kol ma deitztabak beya techoto Yisrael mita bekan beya techoto bekaiman bekiyuma Hahidikti viatem Had Beit Kim Vashem Elokechem Chaim Vashem Elokechem Vila Elokeinu Behahu Nehora Tiklau Ma Diakel Vishetse Kol Ma Deipta Bak Beya Dehotea Viatun Mita Bekan Beya Bekai Mai Diktiv Chaim Kulchem Hayom. Come and see. Although it is the nature of this blue-black light to destroy all that contacts it from beneath, Israel still cleaves to it from beneath and survives. This is written, you who cleave unto Hashem your Elohim are all alive today. It is written to Hashem your Elohim, which is the Nukva, and not our Elohim, which would allude to Zeranpin, from whom Moshe was a chariot. He said to them, you cleave to the blue and black light that burns and destroys all, but nevertheless you survive, as it is written, you are all alive today, because this blue light did not burn you. Question, comments, thoughts?
Well, the Torah tells us there'll always be a remnant. So that's what I thought of.
Say that again. You broke up a bit.
I said, seemed like I remember the Torah telling us that there would always be a remnant, that we'd always be the smallest. I know in Deuteronomy it says that we were the smallest of the peoples. And that's what
correct.
I thought of this. As you read
and
this.
It does say there will always be a remnant. Israel will never be able to leave the land of Israel. There will always be a remnant. There will always be a small cadre that will survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the teaching comes. Everybody thinks that the Jews will survive, but the statement is the nation will survive. The nation will be a remnant. The nation will connect. But an individual Jew, they have to do their work. There's no guarantee that they will survive. The nation will survive, but will you be part of that nation to survive? That's what people have to understand. But through the arrogance of what it means to be a Jew, you know, the rabbis have taught, well, the Jews will always be here. And so the people say, well, that means I'll always be here. But only if you do your work.
Now, what do you consider the definition of work? Because you've been reading a lot of religious out of me lately, so I'm kind of, you know, swaying back and forth from your little blows, which I appreciate, but.
Am I being a little bit too harsh the last few days?
No, it's that I've had too much company and haven't been able to concentrate, you know, on anything but, you know, visiting and playing with great-grandchildren and cooking latkes and, you know, that kind of thing. So I guess I said that because it's so disappointing to me, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm more righteous than anyone, but that when you see Jews and they'll post a recipe on, say, Facebook, and or somewhere in there, and it's definitely not kosher. It's mixing milk and meat, or it's got something in it like shrimp or something, and you know, you cry out, when are we going to start following the mitzvot as a people? And I'm just wondering, do we have the wrong definition of work?
Well, let me give you an answer that isn't going to be clear. But work is translated from the word avid, ayin bet dalet. And avid means, has many meanings. One is service, one is work, one is slave. But if you parse the letters, you have ayin bet 72, and the doorway, the dalet, you have the doorway to the 72. Now, what is 72? What's the meaning of 72? 72 is the gematria of the name of Hashem when spelled out at the level of Chachma. What is work? It's the doorway to wisdom. It's the doorway to Chachma, which is Koachma, which is 28 and 45. 73 or 72, I'm sorry.
Well, the 73, I guess it's the Kolel, makes it 73.
No, 73 is Chesed. And the relationship between Chachma and Chesed is the Kolel. It's the unification. Because
okay.
In my world, the highest you can reach is Chesed. But the highest you can reach is Chachma of Chesed. But you ask the question, what is work? For a child of Israel, the work is opening the door to wisdom. Now, I know that's not an exact answer. I could go through and say it's the 613 mitzvot, but that ultimately is not the answer, because there's really only one mitzvah. There's a particular verse in the Torah where the word is mitzvah, referring to the one mitzvah, and that's loving your neighbor as yourself, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. All of the other mitzvot is to purify you and elevate you to that level where you can strive to love your neighbor as yourself. That's work. That's service to Hashem.
I would have thought it was you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. And that would have caused you to love your neighbor as yourself, and the others would have also brought you to purity. But I'm maybe going to be more.
No, that is one of the teachings from the Shema, to love God with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength.
Well, to me, that's when you are doing the mitzvot, because you're doing it because you love Hashem. It's almost like a
you don't start out loving Hashem. The mitzvot bring you to a level to love Hashem. And that's when you reach that level, what is that level? Because who is your neighbor? Now, typically, people think the neighbor is, you know, people in this world. But we're all one vessel, so who is our neighbor? And, you know, what's the Hebrew word that we translate as neighbor? The ahavtas on love. Lereacha. Kamocha. So is kamocha your neighbor? Or lereacha? The translation is, you know, I don't want to say it's corrupt because it's not, but it's confusing. Mi chamocha, who is like you?
Mm-hmm.
So, yourself is kamocha. So then, lereacha is your neighbor. But if I say to you that lereacha is another name of God,
well, if you're all one, you're all part of Hashem, so
exactly.
You see the unity of everything.
But even looking at the word lereacha, it's what, lamed resh aleph?
Lamed resh.
I forget how it's spelled. But we have to go take a look at that to really understand the ahavta lereacha kamocha. We have to parse out the letters in the what is it saying? Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah. And all kind of things go through your head when you're saying it. You're wondering, what are you supposed to grasp on? So, okay.
Let's go on to verse 258. V'yal nehora hivra shar yayo le'ela nehora satima diakif Diakev Leia Wirazaila Hakavikola Tishkach Vishalchova Desalek Vihachmetin Diel Yonin Beya Ata Rabbi Pinchas Unshakeya Amar berich rachamana te'iharana haka azlu imeya derabi pinchas tilat milin. A concealed light envelopes this white light. It is a supernal secret that this light refers to the supernal light that clothes Zeron Pin, which is the white light. This light cannot be conceived or understood. Everything, including the blue, white, and concealed surrounding light, can be found in the rising flame of a candle, and all great wisdoms are insinuated therein. Rabbi Pinchas approached and kissed him, saying, "Blessed be the merciful, who led me to meet you here." They accompanied Rabbi Pinchas for 3 miles. Questions, comments, thoughts? Yesterday you were asking the question about that surrounding light, that hazy.
I was getting ready to ask you if that concealed light would be those, what I've kind of considered like vibrating the air around the white of the candle.
Well, as we read on a little more, you'll get further insight into it. But to me, that concealed light is the haze that you've noticed, because you don't always see it, do you?
I didn't see it last night.
You know, then it's concealed. You know, sometimes it's revealed. What makes the difference? Why do you see it sometimes and sometimes not?
Well, I think last night it was because the candles were in front of the door. I didn't put one directly in front of us.
Okay.
So the distance of the candles
makes it hard to see it.
Right. So I will do that. I'll make sure I have two going tonight. We haven't lit candles yet, so.
Understand. So why do you think that they're telling us that Rabbi Pinchas is leaving and that they are accompanying him for 3 miles? First off, I doubt if it said miles in the Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying
to explain to them, because if they, it said who led me to meet you here, and they accompanied him for 3 miles. So even if it's a distance,
it's actually not 3 miles. It's 3 milin, and they're just saying that it's easier to express that in English as a mile, but milin.
Mm-hmm. It's words, isn't it?
No, not in Aramaic.
No. Oh, that's right.
Is a measurement of distance, which is, it could be 3 steps or 3 amot in distance, whatever an amot is. It's really not clear to us. You know, I don't speak Aramaic well enough to be able to say. But the mitzvah is to accompany your guests as they leave your house 3 steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the mitzvah is to accompany them 3 milin, which is not a mile, but a measurement of distance. Should I go to the next verse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Verse 259. Ahadru Rabbi Shimon Behavra Yayo Amar Rabbi Shimon Hadi Amaran Raza de Hachmita Ihu Biyichuda Kadisha Divgin Bakach Kahe Batra'a Tishma Kadisha Ihu Nehora Tikla Ukma Teitahed Yudhevav Tihu Nehora Hivura Tenaher. When Rabbi Shimon and his friends returned, after escorting Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Shimon said, "What we said is the secret of wisdom of sacred unification. Consequently, the last hay of the holy name, the Nukva, is the blue and black light that links to the letters Yud He Vav, namely Zeranpin, the bright white light. questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, it looks like state secret of wisdom of sacred unification. It seems to be an important phrase.
Yes.
Is that referring to the secret wisdom in the verse above?
It's referring to the Kabbalah. Sacred
okay.
unification is
of
the
of
the name with the various essences. But it's also the unification of man and wife. It's the unification of all the different souls. You know, what does sacred unification mean to each individual? For much of human history, unification meant my group, my community, and expel anybody that wasn't my community, however that was defined. So in the American Indians, they would expel any old people. Actually, the tribe didn't expel them. The older people said, "It's time. I'm costing resources of the tribe that it can't afford. So it's time for me to leave." And the older people would just walk out into the forest or into the desert or into the mountains. They would go away from the tribe to die, and they basically wandered until they, you know, were killed by animals,
mm-hmm.
or they actually died by falling off a cliff or whatever they chose to do. But that was the American Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, and then in other cultures, if you had a child that was born deformed, he was left to die. Because the tribe couldn't, the community couldn't afford the resources. Now, in today's world, we would consider that incorrect. What's right? What's wrong? What's the correct action in any given situation? The thing to remember is it will depend on the souls involved.
Mm-hmm. Relative to each one.
Mm. Yes. It's always
the animals do the same. You know, the animals do the same thing. Some anyway do. You know, they'll kill the offspring sick or. And here I watched some birds, the killdeer birds, that make their nest in the rocks. They made their nest right around. We had some white rocks around a drain in our fire bed, and it was laying on four eggs, and it destroyed one of the eggs. So somehow it knew that one of those eggs was not right.
It wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that relate to the idea that a deformed animal cannot be sacrificed to Hashem? A lot to think about.
Well, does that kind of go along with the person that had a deformity and could not perform any of the services, which sounds like you're being cruel, but I know one time I read a commentary that said it was because their soul was higher. Their soul was too high, even though their physical body was, they had a deformity, but they had a soul that was very high, which caused you to think something different too. But here again, it all goes back to different groups, different generations of thought, and different relative to those different groups.
Correct.
Which is another reason we can't judge.
Exactly correct.
We shouldn't judge.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to stop here.
Okay.
We're done with, we're out of time, so.
Nice.
Tonight's class at the 7 o'clock class is a Tikkuni Zohar. So I hope you'll join us.
Yeah.
And tomorrow at 8 a.m. West Coast time, we will have another candle lighting explanation for tomorrow night, as well as our mini Zohar again at this time. And our questions and answers. So, shalom to everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
Good night, all.
Shalom. Good night, thank you.